This episode of Healthcare Happy Hour is brought to you by Rx Benefits. Rx Benefits is committed to partnering with you to help your pharmacy benefit clients achieve strategic savings and sustainable success. Together, we can help control costs, improve member care, and enhance satisfaction in the long term. Learn more at rxbenefits.com.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals.
And I'm your host, David Saltzman. Joining us on this episode of Healthcare Happy Hour is the inimitable Connie Podesta, who will be a featured speaker at the upcoming NABIB convention in Miami Beach. Her blend of psychology, humor, and conversational style make her a legit world-class speaker and a woman after my heart. She does not use PowerPoint. So when you're at the convention, don't ask her for a copy of her deck.
No, I don't have it. You know, psychologically, this is the therapist in me coming out. I've kind of been a comedian too. But psychologically, we cannot listen and read at the same time. Our brains are really powerful, but we can't do both of those. And I just prefer to have the audience listening and be a part and me looking at them and just eliminate the PowerPoint. So, yeah.
But be that as it may, a little bit about your background, because you're a unique blend of education and styles and things that you've learned over the years. How do you get to be doing what you're doing?
Well, pretty much because I got kicked out of class in a high school because I was talking too much. And, you know, it's funny sometimes all of you listening think of how often some of our weaknesses or things that we perceive to be our weaknesses turn out to be our strength. I would have always said that talking too much was my weakness, and it still can be. But when I was kicked out of class, this young teacher walked by, and he happened to be the brand new director of speech and debate, and he was looking for people like me, and he grabbed me, and within 2 years, I was lead debater and in all their plays. I won a scholarship to college, which worked out great. My parents probably didn't have enough money to send me, and so the scholarship, and who would have thought that talking got me all of that, you know? So here I am years later, still talking. My husband pays me money not to talk, but...
Oh, I doubt that. But, you know, it's interesting. Was it John Lennon who said life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans?
Right.
So, you know, here we all are. And I don't, if somebody tells you that their life and career path was a straight line, they're lying.
No, they totally are. And I know that. And that's why I say to a lot of parents, you know, I speak to sometimes college graduations. Not often, but I'll say to the kids, how many of you were told to find your passion? And they all raise their hand. And I go, so just so you know, that might not happen in the next 10 years. You might not find your passion on the first job or the second job. Or you might not find your passion at the job you stay at, but you move or change to other departments or do other things. It's kind of hard at 20 to know what we want to do for the rest of our life. And then I needed to have a master's. I was teaching in Connecticut, and there wasn't any graduate studies in speech and theater and debate and all of that. And I was already doing stand-up comedy, and there was certainly nothing in comedy. And so I ended up getting my master's in counseling and therapy and psychology, which turned out to be amazing because I think when you think about it, probably everyone needs a little bit of comedy and a little bit of therapy, and we would be a lot better off.
I certainly will not argue that. Now, I'm not going to give away what you're talking about at the convention. We will talk about your topic just in name only at the end of the interview. But I know there are some things that you talk about when you're on stage and that are particularly germane for salespeople. And one of them is stop setting goals.
That's
not ever the advice anybody gets.
I know. I'm the one that's like, stop setting goals. And it either people really want that topic. That's not our topic for this convention. But just so everyone knows, yeah, I've never really set any goals. In fact, I wouldn't have. I was in line to be an administrator to get my graduate degree, and the line next to me, they were in blue jeans and laughing and talking and moving fast. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, we're in therapy. We're in counseling. And I just kind of switched lines. And I always think of that had I had a specific goal of what, you know, a lot of people have goals like by X age, I'm going to have this amount of money and this job and this. And I think, goodness, look at all the things that might pass you right by when you're aiming for that goal. So I just try to be really open. I do have goals such as be a good person and don't cheat and, you know, be respectful of other people. I think those kind of goals in terms of our values are different than I'm going to be vice president when I'm 48, you know, or I'm going to be making X amount of money before I'm this. So I don't mean don't set goals that are good life value goals, but perhaps be a little more open to the things that come in and out of your door, because one of those may be the path that you were just meant to be on.
Yeah, take the blinders off, because there's all kinds of good stuff out there.
And all kinds of good stuff and new stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, things that, you know, our parents kind of guided us, but sometimes they didn't even know what was all out there. And we didn't know. If anyone had told me growing up that I would be speaking to groups around the world for a living, that never occurred to me. I wouldn't have set it as my goal, because I didn't know it was even a job that existed. It wasn't even in my framework.
All the technology. I mean, you know, I saw a cartoon yesterday. You and I are of the same vintage. I saw a cartoon yesterday that showed somebody going through a card catalog in a library.
Right.
And it said prehistoric Googling. And
yes,
now,
it was.
now with all of the search and all the large language models and the chat GPTs and whatnots, we're even that's not Googling anymore. Now we're past Googling. We're doing
past. So. I know. It's hard to keep up with everything. And, you know, when you go back to the PowerPoint, I remember when everyone started, well, first it was overheads and then it was a slide deck. And really what happened is one time I had a slide deck. I did it all because I didn't know any different. And one time I left it on the plane. I had like 72 slides in this deck. And I got up in front of 2,000 people and said, I am so sorry. I left all of my slides on the plane. And they all started cheering like, yay. And I was like, wait a minute, that's really interesting. And that was probably my best presentation. That's what really set me to a whole different path. Because without those, you just have to be creative. And I went in the audience and I brought people up on stage. And it's a whole different game or atmosphere when you're doing it that way. So, yeah, just be open. Don't set a lot of goals that are... You know, the trouble too with goals, I found as a therapist, people either set them too high and then they feel like failures and they've disappointed themselves, or they set them too low and then they never are challenged or try anything new, because we never really know ourselves well enough to set the perfect goal probably for ourselves.
That's true. One of the things that you said to me when we chatted earlier is that you're big on needing the why, you and Simon Sinek, right?
Yeah.
not so much the what. What's that all about?
Well, I think that's why I kept getting kicked out of class in school, because a lot of the teachers were just teaching the what. Here's what you do, or here's what needs to happen. And as teachers, most of them went to the how. Here's how you do that formula, or here's how you do that project. But what I was always wanting them to say is, but why do we need calculus? Why do we need... You know, whatever was biology, why do we, I'm not saying we didn't. I just wanted the teacher to say, here's why this is going to be important for you. And here's why, no matter what you do, this is going to be a subject that you can really use. And so why has always been for me. And that, I think when I went back into therapy and was getting my degree in counseling, that was the big question of all. You know, maybe they're not happily married, but why? Why, what's happening? Why is this, why did this reach this point? Maybe someone doesn't like their job, but why? And once you find, and that's what therapy really is, or should be with a really good therapist, finding out not just what you're doing, but finding out why you feel this way, why you want this, why you don't, why this irritates you, why this angers you, why this makes you laugh, all of those. So I really tried to do that on stage, to say, here's what the brain needs, or here's what the brain does or thinks. Here's how you can make some changes, but here's why doing this rather than that is going to get you more of what you need. And the minute people know why, they pretty well are on board to do the work.
How did COVID change things for you and for what you do?
COVID changed people psychologically. We're still, you know, we had our first group of kids that didn't go to a prom and they didn't graduate and they weren't in classes and they weren't in teams. And, you know, we had our first group of people that worked remotely from home and they stopped having those meetings. And, they talk about the water cooler gossip and chit chat, but water cooler gossip is rather important into people. What did you think of that? And what do you do? And how do you feel about that? And I didn't want to ask my boss, but I'm going to ask you, how did you make that first sale? You know, all those questions that we ask in the meetings and the going to lunch. For me personally, I lost 28 jobs in the first 2 weeks. You know, nobody was flying. No one was having meetings. So I could do things on the screen, but for me, that was very hard, you know, to be able to look at a screen of 50 people, and my average audience before COVID was 2,000 or 3,000. And so that was a rather different experience for me. I didn't do any for a couple of months. And then my husband's the one that said, Connie, isn't this what you talk about? Don't you talk about reaching points in your life that are hard and then making changes and turning it around and coming out? And I went, yeah, you're right. You know, sometimes as speakers and therapists and parents and all of those, we say things and we forget that we haven't done them ourselves. So with that little nudge, I took a look and stepped back. I had to do everything as a virtual, which is, to be honest, not my favorite. I want in front of people. So it changed a lot. It changed a lot of what we talk about. It changed a lot of how people feel. I've had to really get back into meeting and talking and interacting and networking. All of those things were very difficult during COVID for a lot of people. I think staying home for some people and working was really good for them. But I think there's just as many people that staying home and not having that networking that they got going to work was very, very hard on them. And so we've had to try to get both of those back. So yeah, it changed a lot. We were very fortunate that we've come out of it the way we did. But yes, definitely, it changed people psychologically, mentally, physically. It changed a lot of self-esteem.
Were all of the changes of necessity bad?
No. No, I think companies, number one, learned a lot. I think companies were expecting leadership has always been kind of watching everybody and seeing what they do. And goodness forbid that they, you know, go to a doctor appointment or take off or they're not there. There was kind of always a little underlying that we kind of needed to stay on top of people in order for them to do the work. And I think that's very true of some people, but it's not true of everyone. I think a lot of companies were very surprised that numbers were up and sales were up and, you know, they were still, everyone was still working. My daughter's a good one. She would get up at 5 and work. She would work at 10 o'clock at night. She would work, you know, she always did her work, but it was on a different time frame than 9 to 5. So for her, that was really good. For my daughter that taught school, it was harder for her because she's one of these teachers that really looks at a kid and talks to them and understands them and has private time with them. And so I think it depended on the person and the company.
But it did create a whole bunch, as you were talking about, it did create a whole bunch of freedom. I mean, I also am in the office
totally.
At 4:30, and my most productive time is 4:30 until about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning.
And that's, people are all different. And when I come in to talk, we're going to talk about how different people are. And so there's never a right answer, a right diet, a right work schedule that fits everybody. And I think what COVID did is it forced people to kind of figure out who they are and what they wanted and to do it their way and yet still try to be successful.
One of the things that you said, and I hope you recall our conversation, one of the things you said is that business as usual is over. What does that mean? Is that a COVID thing or?
Well, because we were always kind of, it's back to business as usual. And there was no business as usual. Nothing was usual. The way we ate, the way we entertained, the way we dealt with our families and saw them, nothing was usual. And it really forced a lot of people to go way out of their comfort zone, especially people in sales that were used to selling in person. People with customer service that were used to dealing with people face to face. And so it's been interesting for me, especially with speaking, because now people are back and I have a really good time getting into the whys of why people react the way they do, why they say what they say. I think the more we understand human nature and understand people, you know, there's the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, you know. That's not really true. People really want, they don't want you to treat them the way you want. They want you to treat them the way they want. And so I really enjoy going around the world and helping people figure out other people because it's kind of a cool puzzle. You know, what's that person like and how can I change in little ways? I don't want people to change their values or their ethics, but I do want them to change perhaps how they approach people. A little bit differently. When people are uncomfortable, they can't listen. And that's the biggest secret. When you're uncomfortable, you aren't hearing what people are saying. So if you're trying to sell or you're trying to lead or you're trying to parent or you're trying to be a spouse or a significant other, it's really important that that person hear you and not be turned off by the words or the tone. So we do a lot of that. It helps to be a comedian too.
I'll bet it does. And you know, we talk about that a lot with our marketing clients. Is it, you know, you're not Luke Skywalker, you're Yoda.
Nobody, yeah, you are Yoda, right.
you want it to be all about the client. You don't want it to be all about you because as you said,
right.
people don't listen. I mean, how many times have you heard a speaker or a presentation where they just launch and you're sitting there 5 minutes in going, okay, this is really cool, but I have no idea why this matters to me.
Right. Well, that's why this podcast, I don't want to use the word uncomfortable. It's just different for me because I am talking about me. Like on stage, I don't talk about that I was kicked out of class and I was in speech. And it's not really about me at all on stage. And I coach a lot of speakers. And one of the things I tell them is, it's really not, you're not the star at all. You could not show up and they'll find another speaker or they'll give them a break, which they would absolutely love better anyway. It's really about the audience. And so even though you're talking to me and I'm doing all this talking, I want people to know that on stage, it's really all about them. In fact, I always ask for a video camera person. I said, don't have just somebody there with it aimed at me, because most of them, they're going to have their camera in the audience. It's about them reacting and them interacting and them networking and them responding and reacting to things, because that's the important group in the room.
So as we wrap up here, let's spill a little bit of the beans. What's your topic going to be for folks who are going to be in Miami Beach at the NABIB convention?
The topic is life would be easy if it weren't for other people.
Wow, that's I'm going to go cross stitch that on a pillow, and I don't even know how to cross stitch.
Yeah.
Universal truth.
Because all of us think that. We all think, you know, our spouse, our kids, our neighbors, our friends, our parents, you know, if they were all just a little different, we could really do things a lot better. And I think there's a lot of truth to that because most of us don't understand human behavior. And so my dad years ago said, what are you going to do? How are you going to make money with comedy and therapy? I don't get those two. And then he came to hear me speak and he's like, okay, I get it. Because I think to deliver content that resonates with people, you have to be entertaining and funny. But I also think the fun has to be content driven. I always tell people, I don't tell jokes. And they go, well, how do you make people laugh? And I said, they're laughing because they're going, oh my goodness, I did that. I just said that, or I just heard that, or I just responded. And now I see why that response didn't work. I didn't understand what they really meant. So using comedy in therapy is going to be a whole hour of why and why people do what they do. And also an understanding of self-awareness of us. Why do we feel the way we feel? Why do we react to certain people the way we act? So it's fun. It's energetic. It's interactive. There's no PowerPoint. They will absolutely love it. They will have fun. And yet they will walk away probably more self-aware of themselves and more aware of others than they've ever been in their life.
And that's a great place to end our conversation for today. Connie Podesta, who is one of our featured speakers at the upcoming NABIP convention in Miami Beach. Connie, thanks for taking the time to chat with us.
Oh, thank you.
You can have the Healthcare Happy Hour podcast downloaded automatically by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also find a link to the podcast in the member-exclusive Washington Update, published on Fridays. For more information on our government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit nabip.org.